Good morning, this is Justin Nyoni. This is Old Money University. Welcome, my name is Justin Nyoni. And it's a wonderful morning. It's the 7th of December 2020. And today I thought I would address something specifically what's happening right now in South Africa. And in our region generally, Southern Africa, on a political front. And so today, speaking about something a little bit political, even I think we'll get into some other things happening in the United States presidential election and the implication that they have on us here in Africa. And I'm just assuming a lot of people listening to me are from my region, from South Africa, from Africa, African. And if you're not, I think it's right now, I think we live in a very small world. Everyone's news is everyone's business. So right now, we ever thought we'd be in a place where we'll be discussing the US elections and how all of us are so involved in it. It's because of the world that we live in has become so small. So and it's, it really is important for us to look at what's happening and how it's impacting us. But going back to the issue, the first thing that I wanted to talk about, which is very important because it's close to my heart. There is a man, his name is Prophet Shibe Bushiri. I think this story has been on BBC, it's been, I think, on world news, especially here in South Africa and around the world. He was being charged by the South African government for money laundering. He's a pastor, an entrepreneur from Malawi, and this is close to my heart because I've been to his church. I was a big fan, big believer in the guy, and I've actually been to one of his events, and also it's close to my heart because I think it speaks of a lot of things about the state of the South African government, and its relations and the South African people, the South African media, as it relates to other African countries, especially the smaller ones like Zimbabwe, Malawi, Zambia, and stuff like that. But first of all, just looking at what's happened to this man's life. I mean, Shibe Bushiri is a relatively very young man, but an extraordinary achiever. He started his church in Malawi, which is, Malawi is a very small, poor country. Very close to Zimbabwe, you know. And I think his story is extraordinary because he came from very humble beginnings, right, in a very small country like Malawi, and built this mega organization, his church. The ECG, Enlightened Christian Gathering, and built along the way a string of businesses that made him a multi-millionaire. So I mean, looking at it from just from that perspective, from where he came from and in the time that he came, I remember when I was watching him when he just landed in South Africa, because he was successful when he was in Malawi, and then he moved here to South Africa and started his church here. But I remember seeing the church as he started in South Africa. It was very few hundred members, and it grew to over, I think, in the 50,000-60,000 regions, and in a very short space of time. And he really, really impacted South Africa and the world, basically. And it was the first time we've seen an African, a young African, really stand and be a shining light, really. A mega success, you know, especially coming from the smaller countries here in South Africa. So, I mean, he meant a lot to us, to me, to a lot of Black people, Christians and even non-Christians, because he was a mega success. And here in Africa, we don't have a lot of successes. A lot of our successes, a lot of our rich people, a lot of our successful people, when you sit on the ground and you're here in Africa, the reason why corruption is perpetuated in Africa is because most of the successful people that we do know are politicians. Like, unlike in any other region in the world, if you go to the fanciest place in Harare, which is the capital of Zimbabwe, if you're listening to from internationally, or if you go to the fanciest place in Malawi or in Zambia or in Nigeria or in Ghana or even here in South Africa, you know, to a lesser extent, but still here in South Africa, what you find is that the richest places, the richest house, the biggest houses are occupied by politicians. The president, the vice president, the general of the army, senior political figures, they are the ones with the money. And that's the reality. So growing up in this system where we look up to, you know, unlike if you're growing up in a Western country, the president is not going to have the biggest house on the block unless you're Donald Trump. But ordinarily, you're not going to have a member of Congress or a senator, or you're not going to find them in the richest places, not necessarily. Entrepreneurs, entertainers, CEOs, you know, that's the kind of world when you talk about success to an American kid or to a British kid. The images that come, you know, financial success, I'm talking about financial success, but the images that come to his mind is a CEO of a company, an athlete, an entertainer, an entrepreneur, a tech executive, you know. But if you say the same thing to a kid in Zimbabwe or in Malawi or in South Africa, what usually is going to come to their mind is a politician or somebody associated with the politician. And when I was growing up, I mean, the highlight of my life is when I was mentored by a politician. And what that meant, because I was there with a very senior politician when I was just after college, and I worked with this man for free, and it was a eye-opening opportunity, because there I am working for this politician in Zimbabwe, and basically the whole country was open to me. I mean, I could meet any CEO I wanted. I could meet any bank CEO. We could, you know, I went through that. And so that's how politics in our world has a big impact. And it's because, I mean, so, I mean, if you're a young guy trying to come up, that's the route to go. So it you know, in a way, it perpetuates that cycle of poverty. So it perpetuates that cycle of corruption, you know. So I say this to highlight the fact that when you have a young person, you know, very close to my age, building an organization that reaches the world. I mean, this man was touring the world, you know, holding big meetings around the world. This has nothing to do with Christianity, whether he was a Christian or a Muslim, but it's a young African who builds a great organization of that scale at the time. And that in itself is a big thing. And it's not something that's found readily in Africa, let alone a country like Malawi, or even here in South Africa. So you can't. So my issue is the fact that the way the South African government has attacked, failed to protect him, is to me astounding, number one, because even if you live here in South Africa, we live in a place of great poverty for black people, young black people. There is a lack of young black successful people to look up to. You know, I've lived in South Africa for a number of years now, and when you get onto the ground, you know, when you walk around in the ghettos, when you interact with young black South Africans, and you find that, you know, the poverty is continuing because there's very few examples. So I emphasize this to give you a background of what the success of Shepherd Boshiri meant to Africa, to South Africa, to Malawi, to us black people who live in Africa. So given that background, I think handling his case, handling the allegations that were made about his money laundering should be something that should be given the greatest of care, number one. I mean, this is a man who was holding a diplomatic passport from another nation, Malawi. And number two, he's been living in South Africa. He's a permanent resident of the country. And to see how they dragged him in court, they arrested him and his wife, which is, that's an anomaly in itself. You know, postponed trials. I mean, this happened a couple of years ago. They postponed the trial. Most recently, that's when he was grabbed again, go to prison. He spent 2 or 3 weeks there. And then he comes out and then he leaves, escapes for Malawi for safety. And he comes out with this statement and he says that his life was threatened. And for years he was the South African police, you know, people in the South African police were trying to extort money from him. And I always say, I mean, if you live in South Africa, you know that this is a very, very real thing. South African corruption in South African police is something that is not a surprise. Corruption in the South African government is not a surprise. The dysfunction in the South African police force is not a surprise. The crime rate in South Africa is not a surprise. If you live here, you know, you live with it. We live with it every single day. And it's a joke among us people who are from Zimbabwe how, you know, we always say that we should get this, our Zimbabwe National Police and bring them here. You know, they'll do a greater job. They'll do a better job because we live around these things. You know, we live around places where areas are controlled by drug dealers. It's a reality in South Africa. Just now we're looking in the news of these gangs that are targeting cash transit trucks, you know. And I mean, you're looking in the news and these guys are carrying AK-47 bombing trucks, and you know, I mean, that's the kind of place that you live here. That's the kind of thing. So for him to say that there was police people trying to extort money, millions, I mean, that's a very, very plausible. And the fact that it was not taken seriously, number one, his safety was not taken seriously, number two, this is a man, Shepherd Bushiri. Every single year there was they have an event that they hold at the FNB Stadium. It's a New Year's event, his church basically. And for year after year, I think for the last 3 or 4 years, I can't remember, I don't know how, yeah, but it's about 3 or 4 years where they have 2 or 3, I think at least 3 years, where they have, and the FNB Stadium is one of the biggest stadiums in South Africa, right? I think it's got a capacity of plus 60,000 people plus. I'm just guessing here, but he has packed out that stadium year after year after year. So this is not an obscure man. And for them to be talking about, for them not to afford him protection when he reported the case, when he reported this thing, for them not to afford him protection, a man of his profile, number one, a man who was holding a diplomatic passport from a Malawian government, number two, is something that is outrageous. And as he said in a statement that he lodged his complaints to the Hawks, which is the you know, elite police here in South Africa, years ago, and nothing was done about it. No protection was given. I mean, there was an attempt on his life. Is that something that happened in South Africa? Absolutely. Is it something that that's plausible? Is it something that, absolutely. You don't have to. You live in Gauteng, you live in Pretoria, you live in Joburg. You know, this is a reality. This is the reality that we have to live with in this country. So, given the fact that you have a diplomat, right? A man holding a diplomatic passport, and he's not afforded all these opportunities, all these protections, right? And then allegations is put against him, and he's dragged to, you know, to prison with his wife. You know, it's just something that to me doesn't sit well, and that to a lot of people. And a lot of people, the reason why I've decided to speak about it on the podcast is that a lot of people assume a lot of things because we read in the headlines, the way the media reports it. You know, they report it like he's some crook. And also what the thing that disturbs me is that there's a xenophobic element in South Africa that is very disturbing. You know, something that I have experienced where if you're an immigrant coming to South Africa, if you have any sort of success, everyone always feels like you're taking away from, you know, from South Africa. You benefited from South Africa because we come from poorer countries and that kind of thing. It's an element that's real. And if you're an immigrant here in South Africa, especially if you're coming from Nigeria, you're coming from Zimbabwe, Malawi, you know that's real. And you can, it's very difficult to be assimilated into the society that way. So the fact that he's getting all this abuse is not a surprise, and it's really, really a shame. And it's something that's, the fact that he was not afforded that kind of respect if you have a diplomat from Sweden, you know, a businessman from Sweden who's holding a diplomatic passport and is living in South Africa, was he going to get the same treatment? I don't think so. You know, and a lot of people are confusing their opinion on religious leaders. People take the fact that, okay, should a pastor have millions of dollars, then he must be a crook. Should a pastor be driving a Bentley and buying a Bentley for his daughter, and because of that, he must be a crook. And I think, to me, that's a very, very shallow argument. Number one, this is not, it doesn't matter what he's doing. This is not a moral thing that you can judge, because that has nothing to do with you and me. Whatever opinion I have of him has nothing to do with the fact that, has nothing to do with anything. It's nothing to do with the fact that, is he a criminal or not? That's the thing about it, you know. People are taking their religious view. They don't believe that pastors should have millions of dollars, and that if, and if they do, they're crooks. And that is wrong, because that is not the issue at hand. However you make your money, and we're supposed to be living in a world where people are not judging each other based on that. You can be gay, transgender, a musician, a strip artist, a porn star, whatever. It doesn't matter. That's your right to do whatever you do and earn your money the way you earn it. I'm not, we're not there to judge, but what we have a problem, we're there to protect actually your business and your, as long as you're a law-abiding citizen of any country. So that's the issue at hand here. And I think this issue is being confused in South Africa, and it's being weaponized. And he's being dragged through all this because people feel like a pastor should not have a Bentley, should not be successful, should not be a millionaire. And I think it's wrong. And I think to people who, you know, level-headed people who look at it from, and I'm not speaking from a religious point of view, I'm speaking from a normal citizen, legal point of view, you know. Right now, if you look at the strained relations between South Africa and Malawi over this kind of a thing, you look at how people coming from smaller countries, we feel about it. You know, it's something that is not right. And so I'm urging people listening to get to the facts, get to know this man. I've been to an event. I've been to his place. I've been to his church, and I've been to an to one of his events. What he's gone through should not happen. You know, the whole world is looking at the way South African government is conducting themselves, despite their many problems with corruption. You know, and instead of focusing on the issue at hand, focusing on his safety, you know. How did, and I'm thinking about right now, what's the way forward? Are you going to extradite him? And who guarantees his safety? Who guarantees a fair trial? There's been clear unfairness all through the while. So anyway, it's something that I thought I needed to address and encourage those ones who people are listening to me to. If you hear this story, and a lot of people have heard it, investigate it. Look at the facts, you know, because it matters. It matters for us as Africans. It matters, you know, the kind of justice system that we run. It matters the relations between the countries and how we promote that kind of mutual respect, you know. And I think this is not only going to benefit immigrants coming into South Africa, but it's going to benefit South Africans, because that attitude has to go. We have to move away from that feeling, you know, that this is our country. No, this is a country that welcomes all talents from all people. And we have to be protecting people of considerable talent. So anyway, that's a bit of my rant on the issue. It's an important issue to me. It's a really, really, really important issue for us. And it's an important issue to get to the truth. And for people to start to recognize some of these things, that, you know, it's a really, really important issue. And I hope you'll, when you meet your friends, talk about it. You know, let's support the man. You know, doesn't matter whether you believe in God or you don't believe in what he does, or you don't believe pastors should have money. That's not the issue. Do you believe that people should have you know, should be respected? You know, do you believe that people, you know, should have rights, equal rights under the law? Yes, you believe that. And if you believe that, then you should be defending the man. Yeah, so that's something that I just needed to get off my chest. Sometimes I go political, and it matters, because it matters to our lives. I think we're at this stage where things like this should matter to us. If we're gonna have a better Africa, these are things that should matter, because this is a very, very important moment, especially because now, I mean, between these two governments, it's a very, very tense moment, and we're all looking and seeing what's gonna happen. So anyway, yeah, that's my piece for on this thing. I think I'm gonna come back and probably speak about it a bit later as I get more information about it. But for now, I'm gonna leave you this. Be encouraged, be blessed, be uplifted, be encouraged. Let's build our country. Let's advocate for fairness. Let's advocate for just a fair way of looking at this issue. Anyway, that's just me. I'm signing out for now. Cheers. Have a good day. Have a good week. Productive week. Live by faith, live by grace. Cheers. Okay, this is the end of the show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for taking the time to listen. And please, please, please subscribe. Hold Money University on Spotify. Let's grow the community. Tell a friend and send me a message, please. I would like to hear from you, where you're listening from. If something has been of encouragement or has helped you in any way, I would really, really appreciate it. Hit me up on Twitter, on Facebook, and I'll see you next time.